Part 15 Principle, he said. The light, or law as he calls it, will convince a man of sin, and there leave him inexcusable before God. Answer. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake, to everyone that believes in the light, and so comes to witness the law of faith and of life. The hope and the promise of this bring from under the schoolmaster to the sonship, and to know and see salvation, which none do but with the light. Principle. He said, that scripture in John is misapplied, which said, that Christ enlightens every man that comes into the world. And said, it John 1:9 applies only to the children of the new covenant. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. John was not the light, but he witnessed the light, Christ. Which is the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world? John 1:8-9. So, here is a Bible scholar, choosing to ignore any scripture that doesn't fit in with his opinion or what he has been taught to think. All scriptures are compatible. If you think one is wrong, then you don't understand the ones you think you do. Answer. This is contrary to scripture, that said, one loves the light that enlightens everyone that comes into the world, and the other hates the light. He who hates the light is condemned by the light, and so he who is outside the covenant has the light too. But to the children of the covenant, to believe and follow the light is to have the light of life. And he is a covenant, a light to the Gentiles and to the Jews, whether they own it or believe in it or receive it or not. He is so nevertheless according to the promise of God. And to every man that believes in it, it is the covenant of light, and he shall not need to say, know the Lord. For he shall find the law in his mind, and the law in his heart. And the saints witnessed the light shining in their hearts, and that gave them the knowledge of the glory of God, and they were passed from death to life, and from darkness to light. And the unbeliever abides in darkness, and in the death, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. And there you are, and such know nothing as they ought to know, but naturally as brute beasts. Principle, he said, the light in every man which comes into the world will not open all scripture, nor lead men out of the fall to God the Father and to eternal life. Answer. The light which enlightens every man that comes into the world is the substance of all scriptures, and the way out of the fall up to eternal life out of the first Adam, and is the life that opens all scriptures, and that all scriptures end in. Man being in the fall, in the first Adam driven from God, in the sin and transgression, Christ the second Adam, which enlightens everyone that comes into the world, who is the way again to God, is he who brings in righteousness, life, and immortality, and finishes sin and transgression, and ends the prophets, types, figures, and shadows, and opens all scriptures. Principle. He said, the light tumbles men into the grave, and rolls a stone upon them, and tumbles them in transgression, and he shall act against the anointed ones of God, and against the Lord. Answer. No, the light leads men out of transgression, and from wallowing in their blood, and is that whereby they have life, and leads them out of the grave, and from under their stony hearts and rocks, whereby the new covenant of light is known, and the new heart which is pure, with which God is seen. The light, with which every man that comes into the world is enlightened, will prick those who persecute the anointed ones, and act against the Lord, though they kick against it. Now as he saw, later named Paul, near Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven shined around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to keep kicking against the pricks of your conscience, trying to warn you to stop your murderous persecutions. Acts 9:1-5. Notice. First, Saul was not a child of the new covenant, and yet the light Christ appeared to him with the light that enlightens every man who comes into the world. But that light shines in a dark place, until God causes it to shine to give knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Second, Jesus said Saul was persecuting him, Jesus, not just his followers, but Jesus, proving that a true follower of Christ eventually enters union with Christ to become one with him and a part of his body. One heart, one faith, one mouth, one spirit, one body. Principle. He said, to what purpose should Christ be preached dead and risen, to be believed on for life, if the light is in everyone? Answer. Mankind being in the fall, Christ was made manifest to witness that he should come, and made manifest to many witnesses when he was come. And John came to bear witness to the true light, which enlightens every man that comes into the world. Then these witnesses who did believe that Christ had come, were to go into all the world, to all nations, Jews and Gentiles, and preach the everlasting covenant of God to them, which was promised, and were witnesses of his resurrection, and to turn people from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. And then told them, the light that shined in their hearts would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And the law was in their hearts, and the word was within them, and the anointing, and such had the gifts for the work of the ministry, for perfecting the saints, for the edifying the body of Christ, till they all came to the knowledge of the glory of God, and to a perfect man in Christ Jesus. Principal, he said, Christ is outside his saints in respect of his bodily presence. Answer. How then are they of his flesh and of his bone, and eat his flesh and drink his blood? And how have the saints his mind and spirit, and he with them, and they with him, and sit with him in heavenly places? And he is the head of the church, how then is he absent? You poor apostates from him, who feel not Christ with you, but he is within the saints, and they feel him. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Gal 4:6, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. F3:17, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? 1 Cor 3:16, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Cor 6:16, Lev 26:12, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Rom 8:9, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Gal 4:19, principle. He said, salvation and faith are the gifts of God distinct from Christ. Answer, they are all of him and from him and with him, and if faith is not from Christ, how is he the author of faith in whom it ends from where it comes? Principle, he said, the light which discovers sin and iniquity in man's heart is not Christ the light, the door. Answer. The first Adam was the door where all sin and transgression entered. Christ, the second Adam, the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world, said, I am the door, the way, and the life, which finishes sin and transgression and brings in everlasting righteousness and the way of life out of death, which light discovers sin. Principle, he said, to call Christ the light, the gift, the door, the way is to take the gardener for Christ, as Mary did. Answer. We do not put Christ, the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world, for the gardener. We know him, and as many as receive him, he gives them power to become the sons of God. And this, you say, is not power to be used to attain sonship, but prerogative authority to automatically be a son, and thus you are wresting scripture. So you should have been more meek and low in your heart, and then you would have bridled your tongue and have learned of Christ, and so have come to the light, the sure foundation, out of the error of your ways, and have kept in the footsteps of the flock. If your tongue had been shorter and your bridle narrower, then would you not have mixed the covenant of God with man's spirit, and have compared it to the law of works, which Christ the light, which enlightens everyone that comes into the world, is the end of. Man's spirit in the fall is polluted, and his body. But as the light is believed in, and the mind changed, his spirit and body are sanctified, and so he comes to be a child of the light, and his spirit witnesses with our spirits that we are the sons of God. And none on the door, the mediator, the life, the way, but with the light which Christ enlightens every man that comes into the world withal, which light is the door, the way, and the life. Ellis Bradshaw's book, called The Quaker's Quaking Principles, which he directs to the protector. His principles follow. Principle, he said, that Christ who enlightens every man that comes into the world, does it not by a direct illumination, not the elect themselves, to bring them to salvation? Answer. Does not Christ say, I am the way, the truth, and life? And he is the door, and no man comes to the Father but by him, and we are to learn of him. This is my beloved Son, hear you him, said God. And is not he the new covenant in the heart, by which men need not say, Know the Lord? And there is no other name by which men can be saved, but by the name of Christ, who enlightens every man that comes into the world, that all through him might believe. And he who believes in the light abides not in darkness, but has the light of life. And they who believe not in it but hate it, the light is their condemnation. And the light that enlightens everyone that comes into the world is the salvation, though men neglect it, which the elect walk in, which condemns the unbeliever, which is direct. And no man sees salvation but who comes to the light. Principle. He said, the word that was made flesh is visible, and the word is the letter, and they never received the spirit of life from it, and that is the Quaker's error. God is the word, John 1:1, and God is not scripture. and you cannot receive the spirit of life from the letter which kills according to Scripture. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 2 Cor 3:6. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do practice, obey what I tell you? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does practices, obeys them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation securely built on a rock. And when the flood arose, the torrent beat violently upon that house, but could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. But he who hears and does not practice my teachings is like a man who built a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the torrent struck violently, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Luke 6:46-49. Answer: such as had the scriptures, which were the words of God to them in old time, and the ordinances, the apostle calls carnal, which the Jews stuck in, and would not come to him that they might have life, would not come to Christ. And so if men have all the scriptures and have not Christ, they have not life. For the devil may have the scripture, but does he therefore have life? And the power of God, Christ, his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God lives and endures forever, and the Spirit is not in the letter, and the letter is not the Word which was made flesh. And they are in the error who think so, for the Word is invisible. Principle: Paul advises not only to the light within, but is telling them bring his cloak, books, and parchments, and give attendance to reading. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak with you that I left at Troas with Carpus, also the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord will repay him according to his works. 2 Tim 4:12-14. The man takes Paul's reference to his personal property, what little he had, to be brought to him that he left in a previous city. He tries to equate this one obscure incidental reference to books and parchments with his advice to the light, of which there are 16 very significant and deep references to the light of Christ in Paul's letters. Romans 2:19, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Ephesians 5:8, walk in light, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Ephesians 5:14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Timothy 6:16, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul tells us that Scripture is valuable to furnish a man of God, who has first been perfected, with the to-zero-ls necessary for his ministry, that he has been specifically gifted by the Holy Spirit so he can assist in the perfection of the saints. Scripture properly interpreted is very valuable for teaching and correction, but as this man demonstrated, in the hands of the unperfected disciple, it is a source of great confusion, which is Babylon. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly fitted to all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. But this man denies perfection and works too, so he ignores this scripture. Answer. The apostle told the saints that the light that shined in their hearts would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, and tells them to walk in the light. And Christ tells them to believe in the light, and they should not walk in darkness, and there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved, but by the name of Christ. And none see the substance of the scriptures, nor the fulfilling of them, but those who walk in the light. But those whom God speaks to by his Son, who is the end of the prophets, and there is the true reading and knowing of all books and parchments. For none know the scriptures, but by the light which comes from Christ, in whom they end. Principle, and again you say, there are more words than one. Answer, God is the word, and the scriptures of truth are his words, which Christ fulfills. Principle, he said, they have fellowship with the Father, but not in the like measure of the gifts of grace the apostles had. Answer. Then you are not likely any of you to understand the apostles' words, nor to be judges of them, unless you come into the same measure and gifts as they were in, else you will not be able to judge of their conditions, nor know their words. Principle, he said, there is no man justified through the faith in Christ, who believes the scriptures to be only a dead letter, but he believes them to be the word of God, in which there is spirit and spiritual life, as words of eternal life. This man thinks he is justified by reading and believing the scripture. He doesn't understand justification is obtained by the process of grace while seeking, waiting on God silently in humility, God showing a man his sins, and with repentance God removing the sins from his heart. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found to be sinners, does that mean that Christ encourages sin? God forbid. Gal 2:17. He doesn't understand that righteousness if achieved through obedience to a series of revelations, which is faith, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Gal 5:5. Obedience leads to righteousness. Rom 6:16. Answer. The Spirit and the life are not in the scriptures, but were in those that gave them forth, and many have the scripture, and not the spirit of life. If the devil quotes the scripture, does he therefore have spirit and life when he is clearly out of it? This is like the Pharisees, who thought they had had life in the scriptures, but would not come to Christ, the life of which the scripture testified. The scriptures are words of God, but many have the words, and deny the word who is Christ, the light and word within a man itself, and none are justified who have the scriptures but are out of the life that gave them forth. Principle. He said, it is a senseless doctrine to direct people only to the light within, and what an absurd thing it is to tell our children of the light within their conscience, and to told them obey and follow it, that light and word that is in their hearts and mouths, and so fully neglect the teaching of the scriptures. Children should be encouraged to read scripture, particularly Matthew, Luke, Mark, and Acts. However, as millions of ministers have totally misunderstood Paul's letters, which Peter warned us about, children should not try to understand their complexities, and to tell a child to read Revelation is poor judgment. But your children should be made aware that the Spirit of God will reason with them in their life, and it will be perfectly clear to them what he is saying to them. If they expect it, they can recognize it coming from God and be more likely to obey. God particularly tries to reason with us not to embark on some unlawful course in our lifetimes. If we listen and follow his advice, we get more advice. If we ignore it, he ignores us. Answer. Is not this Saul's zeal, kicking against the pricks of his conscience, who had scripture? It is not to neglect to teach the scriptures, nor the apostles' doctrine, to bring people and children to the light within, and the word in their hearts and mouths, to obey and do it, which was the apostles' doctrine. And they are senseless who are out of it. And they were those that made proselytes, that brought not people to the word within, nor to the light within, but from it. Principle, he said, the apostle thought to do many things against the church and thought he ought to do so, and the light within did not inform his conscience. Answer, did not Christ say it was hard for him Saul to kick against what pricked him? Was not that within him that pricked him? Principle, and you say you are too ignorant of the ways of God and witnessing the meaning of his spirit. Answer. We do believe you, therefore you would have better have been silent, and have hearkened to the light within you, and the word within you, and the word of faith and wisdom, which none hear but who come to the light within. Principle, you say you are too much troubled with carnal thoughts and vain imaginations, and addicted to the world. Answer. Those dictates are not likely to own the light within, word within. It is not a strange thing that your spirit should stand against the apostles' doctrine, that is, light within. 1 Cor 2:4. Principle, you say, it is disparaging the scriptures to direct people to the light within, rather than the scriptures to direct them to eternal life. Answer. Many may have the scripture and may be from the light and spirit of God that was in those who wrote the scriptures, but none have eternal life, but who come to the light within, and the spirit that was in those who gave forth the scriptures. And to you this is the word of the Lord. Fox is repeating what the Lord has told him to reply. Principle, you say, the light within is gross darkness, and what darkness and blindness is there where the scriptures are not minded and known? All of these people who want to equate the scriptures to the spirit also claim that without scriptures, there is no salvation or eternal life. How did the saints and prophets, who wrote the scriptures, write the scriptures, with no scriptures to guide them? According to this plethora of Bible worshippers in this book of accusations, the scriptures must have been the beginning of all things, all knowledge, and all wisdom. Maybe they should change the Bible to say, in the beginning was the scripture, and the scripture was with God, and the scripture was God. Do you see how ridiculous it is to believe that the scriptures and the word are the same? Read the book of Job, and you will see men with not a scrap of scripture who knew more about God than any of the so-called ministers in this book, whose words from gross darkness Fox patiently and courteously answers. Answer. The apostle, who directed to the light within, did not call that gross darkness nor blindness, but turned people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And Abraham and Enoch were not in gross darkness and ignorance, yet they had no scripture to mind, but both were in the spirit and faith of those who later wrote the scripture. They who come to witness the same spirit that was in them that gave forth the scriptures shall come to witness the covenant of God written in their hearts, and shall not need to say, "Know the Lord." These cease from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, and they who come into this own the scripture without and are in Abraham's faith. Principle, he said, the elect may be deceived and fall from their own steadfastness for a time and come under death and the power of Satan. Answer. The elect seed is in the grave, which it is not possible to deceive, and the elect shall be brought from under all the deceivers and death and bonds and shall come over the gates of hell, although the seed has previously been in captivity. It is not possible to deceive the elect. It is the world that is deceived. What is led captive shall go into captivity. Eve and the first Adam may be brought into transgression, but Christ the second Adam, the seed in you all, you must know, which is what bruises the serpent's head and the ground of all deceiving. So the elect may lie under for a time and suffer, but the election shall obtain, but not him that wills of self, instead of listening to God's voice and obeying his commands completely, nor him that runs ahead of his guide to all truth, but instead comes over to the crown of honor and glory. Principle, he said, Satan deceives men into bringing them to a self-denying posture. This man shows a complete lack of understanding of man seeking God. Consider the below scriptures. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Tit 2:11-12. But notice his vain words, good-sounding words, lofty words, complex phrases, all of which confuse the unsuspecting. He is a minister of Satan, transformed to appear as a minister of righteousness, speaking from his carnal mind and vain imagination, never having been taught by God, gifted by God, or sent by God, only by man. Answer. It is not the devil who brings men to be humble and to deny themselves. What teaches self-denial is Christ. What keeps out of self-denial is the devil himself, because he left self-denial when he went out of the truth. Principle, he says, those can never be clear of a degree of blasphemy, who have the Spirit of God in them and speak against ministry, magistrates, and ordinances, and tell people to listen to the light within them, and to the Spirit's teaching, and that they are all taught of God. Jesus said, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. John 6:45, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will instruct sinners in the way. He will guide the meek in what is right, and he will teach the humble his way. Psalm 25, 8-9 I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32, 8. This is what the Lord, your protector, the Holy One of Israel, says. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you how to succeed, who leads you by the way that you should go. Isa 48, 17. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit and whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. John 14, 26. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Tit 2, 11-12 answer. They who witnessed the Spirit and light within were taught of God, and were moved of the Lord to declare both against ministers, magistrates, and ordinances that stood against Christ the power of God. And these were called blasphemers, who were not, the Scripture declares it, but own the power that ended all changeable things, which upon all the heads of the transgressors and blasphemers came, which power was appraised to those who did well. Principle. He said, they say, that Scripture may be bought and sold, and it does not profit, but the light within is of an eternal nature, an infallible guide, so obeying it, they shall be sure of perfection and eternal life. Now, said he, those that say so are the poor, ignorant, and unstable souls. Answer. Cannot you buy and sell the Scriptures and your sermons and prayers? Can any have the comfort of the Scriptures and an infallible guide, perfection, and eternal life, and the soul established, and come out of ignorance? But who come into the light and Spirit of God within that gave forth the Scriptures, with which they come to know God the Father of spirits, of whom they learned that gave forth the Scriptures, and so come into the Spirit and the bond of peace and unity with the Scriptures, with God, and one with another. And the Spirit of God does not bring men to a dislike of Scriptures, nor ministers of Christ, but to see what estate and condition they were spoken forth to. Principle, you say, the measure of Christ must be so, that you ought to lay down your lives for the brethren, and love one another, much more to lay down your estates. Answer. When was there a priest in the nation that laid down his estate for the love of Christ or his brethren, unless he had another selfish motive? Or, when have you seen a priest lay down his estate to save others out of prison? Instead, the priests cast people into prison until death because they cannot give him tithes. The apostle does not say, have not we power to take tithes, but have not we power to eat and drink? And they who preach the gospel live of the gospel. And they bring glad tidings, but that is not glad tidings to cast into prison and hail before courts. And they who preach the gospel lived on the gospel, that opened the hearts of people without men's compelling power. The love existing among the early friends was very strong, that when a friend was suffering a long or hard imprisonment, other friends would go to the authorities and offer to take their place in prison and pay any necessary fine for their release. 149 Quakers sent a letter to Parliament, click to see, offering to replace their suffering brothers in prison. This is a remarkable offer of love and self-sacrifice, available for reading on this site. A famous occurrence of the many offers was the offer made to the Lord Protector Oliver Cromwell to take George Fox's place in prison. One of them went to the Lord Protector, Oliver Cromwell, and offered to be imprisoned at Doomsdale in George Fox's place. The Protector, struck by this act of friendship, looked around on his followers with the question, which of you would do as much for me if I were in the same condition? And though Cromwell did not accept the friend's offer, saying, he could not do it, for it was contrary to law, yet this action of love came mightily over him as truth. From George Fox's journal. Now it was a time of great suffering, and many friends being in prisons, many other friends were moved to go to the Parliament, to offer themselves up to lie in the same prisons where their friends lay, that those in prison might go forth, and not perish in the stinking jails. This we did in love to God and our brethren, that they might not die in prison, and in love to those that cast them in, that they might not bring innocent blood upon their own heads, which we knew would cry to the Lord and bring his wrath, vengeance, and plagues upon them. Parliament ignored their offer. Plagues, Black Death, London Plague, fires, Great Fire of London, and wars, Dutch Wars, occurred shortly afterwards. Principle, he said, you must not give ear to the Quakers, for they tell you your ministers look for their gain from their quarters and are hirelings, and this, he said, is deceiving and the depth of Satan and a lying, malicious spirit. Answer. The prophet spirit was not a lying and malicious spirit that cried against those who sought for their gain from their quarters and said they were hirelings, in which spirit are the Quakers, and they see you walk in the same steps. and take away your gain from you and your hire, and you are suing in the courts and hailing up and down, which shows your spirits to be the false spirits the apostle speaks of, which went out into the earth. Principle, you say, above all things, beware of covetousness. Answer. If you had heeded that, you would have been better examples to the nations about you. But in covetousness, you are swallowed up, and so are excommunicated out of the life which the prophets, Christ, and the apostles were in. And so your reward from him you shall have. You are finding fault that the people are covetous, and thus complain to the whole nation. You should have complained of yourselves for being out of the power of God that should have struck down covetousness, and that you are not in the life and power the apostles were in, and so your teaching has not such an effect with it as the apostles had. So you have manifested and shown your spirits to the nations, and show you lack your covering. The apostles did not write abroad to the world that their church was covetous and send to the magistrates and complain to them. Would they not have dishonored the power of their church if they had done so and shamed it as you do yours? Principle, he said, many false prophets have gone out into the world, believe not every spirit, and Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Answer. These things the apostles saw come into the world before their decease, the devil transforming himself into an angel of light, and false prophets and false spirits gone out into the world. And since the days of the apostles, all that dwelt upon the earth went after them and the beast, except those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And the apostle, when Satan was transforming himself into an angel of light among the Corinthians, brought them to the light in them, which would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And John saw they who Christ said should come were come, the false prophets and false spirits, and told them not go after them. And John told them they had the anointing within them to teach them, and needed not any man to teach them, but as the same anointing taught them. And they should continue in the Son and in the Father, where no false spirit was. These false spirits, prophets, and antichrists, which Christ said should come, which John saw had come and went forth from them, have drawn tongues, peoples, multitudes, and nations to be waters, and these are their fruits, as Rev 17:15. People are just now coming from these waters and false spirits to the rock. These are they who draw the nations to be as waters that have turned against the saints and the Lamb, but the Lamb and the saints shall have the victory. Nevertheless, these false prophets, beasts, antichrists, false spirits, all inwardly ravened from the true spirit, have had the sheep's clothing. Else they could not have deceived the world and led the world after them, and could not have brought nations to be as waters. And herein has been the beast's power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and his heads and names in the nations, and among the tongues. Yet all these heads and names have agreed together in one against Christ, the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world. And the devil, beast, and false prophets made war against the saints and overcame them. But the saints and the Lamb shall overcome them, and the devil shall be taken, and with him the beast, and the false prophet, and Babylon shall be confounded, and the Lamb and the saints have the victory. Rejoice, you saints and holy prophets, over them. The Lamb and the saints shall have the kingdom, and power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, who are redeemed from them, and from the earth, to reign with Christ, and atop of the devil and his angels, which cannot get into the seed. Principle, he said, it is a boast of the Quakers to say that they have the eternal Spirit of God in them, and said, they may properly use the word thee to one. And taking off the hat is reverend, due, and honor, and he must not quench the smoking flax, but be courteous, and custom to whom custom, and to the law, and to the testimony. Answer. He who is not the Spirit of Christ is none of his, and that is eternal, and he who said you to one shows he has neither learned accidents the then taught grammar nor the Bible. And the hat is the honor of men below in the earth, Adam's honor in the transgression, but Christ, the second Adam, said, I receive not honor of men. How can you believe that receive honor one of another, and seek not that honor that is of God only? And so this is the mark of an unbeliever. And the apostles did not observe the Jews' customs, or the heathens' customs, for if they had, they needed not have been persecuted by them. To be courteous is to do one another good. But how is this practiced among you, when you cast into prison those who cannot put into your mouths, and for whom you do no work? Where is your courteousness here? They do not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax, who own the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world, and these do not neglect their salvation. But they who deny the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world neglect their salvation, and such are they who break the bruised reed and quench the smoking flax. The light brings to own the law and testimony, but many may have the scriptures and not the law and testimony. For the law is light, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this was before the New Testament was written, as Isaiah 8, and that was before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or any of the epistles were written. And as for the rest of your lies, slanders, and hard speeches, they shall fall upon yourself and be your own burden. The witness in your conscience shall answer me in the day of your judgment. And they who have not the eternal spirit are none of his. Thomas Weld, Richard Prydox, Samuel Hammond, William Coles, and William Durant, their book called A Discovery of a Generation of Men Called Quakers. In it are the following principles. Principle, first, that the soul is a part of the divine essence. Answer, what comes from God, which God has in his hands, which Christ is the bishop of, is of God and divine and immortal, which many of the priests say is appetite, lust, and pleasure. And the soul of Christ, say they, is human, which is earthy. And so you that are come from one mother, all derived from the Roman sect, are not agreed here among yourselves, and people begin to see you. The time has been they knew not which of you to believe, but now they believe in Christ, who is the bishop of their souls. Principle, there lies a mystery of iniquity in saying, the world calls them so, by such and such names, or gives them their Christian name. Answer. There are names given by the heathen outwardly, by which men are called, and there is a new name, which the world does not know, written in the book of life. Here is the new man known, created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Now who is this new man? What is this new name? The world may call him by the old, so it is not a mystery of iniquity to say the world calls him so. Principle, it is a sinful neglecting of their families to wander up and down, and the forsaking of changeable apparel he calls monkish holiness. Answer. When people run into transgression from the life of God, into the earth, then comes up the lust of the eye, the lust of the world, and the pride of life, which leads them into all the fashions of the world, which is not of the Father, but of the world. Now the lusts and affections must be mortified, which have outwardly transgressed the pure principle of God within, whereby the mind has gone out into the creatures, and things without, whereby it falls under the creatures, and so comes thereby to worship the creatures more than the Creator, who is God blessed forevermore, being gone from the principle of God in their own particulars. The Spirit of God is what mortifies the world, when men turn to it, and this brings off from all the lusts of the world, and excess, and affections, and professions, whether they are such as you call monkish, or those of make-believe presumption, or whatever. It brings into the possession, into the life which mortifies. For this which you calls monkish holiness is like your own because you do not have the spirit that they lived in who gave forth the scriptures. All holiness which stands out of the spirit is self-righteousness. The apostles and the faithful in all ages who wandered up and down, did the will of God, spoke the word of God, were commanded and moved of the Lord, and forsook all for Christ. Christ did not teach men sin. He who does not forsake all is not worthy of him, house, lands, wife, children, whatsoever. He who esteems any of those more than Christ lives still below, he lives still, not given up, he is not worthy of him. And they who do not forsake all and come out of all are in the sinful neglect of the family of the Lord of heaven and earth. And they stick below in their own sealed houses, habitations, nests, holes, and rocks, calling unto the mountains and there garnishing the tombs, and living in all fashions, customs, honors, and pleasures of the world. And the priest's work has been this, to teach the people to keep in the lust, and not to forsake and come out of all their lusts to Christ, who are not worthy of him, and if any do, they look upon them to be sinful neglecters of their family, which wisdom was before all things were made, and is the preserver and finisher of all things, and not the destroyer, but that it rebukes, and in this are men ordered to God's glory. Principle. The Quakers deny imputed righteousness, prayer, baptism, church government, ministry. Answer, that ever you five who are called ministers should thus publish your lies to the nation. The higher powers, the one government, the church, the pillar and ground of truth, the ministry that is in the Spirit that ministers to the Spirit in the prison, baptism with the Spirit into the one body, prayer in the Spirit, the Lord's Supper, who dwells in the saints and walks in them and sups in them, the gospel, the power of God, and imputed righteousness to the believer are owned. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Christ come, and Christ in you, is the end of the belief, who is the justification itself and righteousness itself, nearer than when they did first believe. Here is justification itself without imputation, the righteousness of God, here the belief ends. And all these things are owned according to the scriptures. But all such teachers who are in the earth and teach for money and means, we deny. And you who baptize and sell your prayers and preaching and supper for money, we deny. Principle. Will a discerning of the gospel mysteries prove a power to discern the state and condition of the soul, what it shall be to all eternity? Is this not a great ignorance? Answer. The ministers of the Spirit watched for the soul, the prophets and apostles knew its state, and knew Christ the bishop of it, and saw when the soul was in death, and saw when God had pleasure in it, when it lived, and saw the soul in God's hand. For who have the mysteries of the gospel, which is the power of God, which gives liberty to the captive soul? This is glad tidings to the just. Such a one is a true workman, that divides his work correctly, and is not ashamed of his work, of his building, but presents the soul to God, and knows when it is in death, and when it is living. So they who have come up into the bishop, Christ, are one soul, they know the hand of God which the soul lives in, which is the power, and so know it from eternity to eternity. So you priests who do not discern the soul and its state to eternity and from eternity, you are not in the mystery of the gospel which gives liberty to it, neither have do you have it. For you are stumbling at the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world, which comes from Christ the bishop of the soul, and so your darkness cannot comprehend that. And so what fellowship has the light with darkness? It has no fellowship with it, for your darkness cannot comprehend it, though it shines in your darkness. So for you to talk of saints judging the world, and meddle with such things, who are to be judged by the saints, who are in that darkness which cannot comprehend the light that shines in you, you do not have light to comprehend the saints who are in the light, who have the just weight, measure, and balance, who are the judges of the world, reaching, measuring, answering agreeable to that of God in every man. You are stumbling at those who have become the sons of God, adopted sons and heirs, and of the flesh and bone of Christ, and of his mind and spirit, who are in the possession of the scriptures, the durable life of the saints, which makes you, who cannot comprehend the light in your own particulars, to rage. For none come to witness the sonship and heirship, but who come to the light in their own particulars, and receive it, and with it comprehend darkness, which the light expels away. Such see over the night, and are the children of the day. And you five priests have shamed yourselves, who do not know the soul from eternity to eternity. Principle, it is blasphemy to say the soul is a part of the divine essence. Answer, you may read in this book that some of the rest of the priests that are called ministers say Christ is human and the soul is a creature. Some again say, it is a part of the divine essence, it is immortal, and again, it is appetite and pleasure, and in this now is their confusion made manifest. The soul is what came out from God and is in God's hand, which hand goes against him that does evil and transgresses against the principle of God that is in him, which goes against the lust which wars against the soul, which hand the soul being in praises God, the hand is felt, the power felt that turns against what wars against it. Here the soul magnifies God, rejoices in God the Savior and praises God. Here is God's pleasure. The living Lord takes pleasure in the living soul. And appetite and pleasure are human, these are not immortal, which the soul is. So you five have judged yourselves to be blasphemers, who said the soul was part of the divine essence, and yet it is blasphemy to say so. Principle, Christ is to rule as a king, but in all he does not. Answer, those and you who hate the light will not hear him or have him to rule over you in them, such are for the sword and to be slain before him. Principle, and the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world is not sufficient to salvation, nor gives a light sufficient to bring to the gospel to know the mediator, and that light which has enlightened all men is not the way, but a created light by Christ. God is light. 1 John 1:5. Jesus is the light of the world, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Salvation is to be delivered from sin and to be restored to the life of God, walking as saints in the light of God, in heavenly Jerusalem, where the glory of God lights the city and there is no night. This man hates the light so much, he deceptively ignores over 100 scriptures that speak of the light of God and Christ. Answer. All lights were made and created by the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world. And this is the eye of the soul, which gives to see Christ the bishop of it, from whom it comes. This light is the covenant of God, which enlightens every man that comes into the world. And this light lets us see the mediator, the salvation, the gospel. All who are from the light are out of the truth. They who went out of the truth, the God of the world has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in them, which is the image of God. So created lights were created by it, and none know the truth but by this light. And all men's professions are but from that nature, that are out of this light which has enlightened every man that comes into the world, which all men must come into, before they come into unity with God. No one can know the mediator or Christ by the created and made lights, which were made by the light Christ. But as they come into the light by which they were made, that gives them the wisdom of the creation, and lets them see how they were made. So those who hate the light do not receive the Spirit of God, but remain in their natural state. And what such know, they know naturally, from books, authors, and studies. So men who hate the light do not come to Christ, the author of their faith, and so their faith is in Scripture, not Christ. Principle: how ridiculous is it to say, Christ dwells in all, so is in all? But Scripture tells us the Christ and the Father are in all, so it is ridiculous to deny that Christ dwells in all. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. F 4:6 He has made from one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the allotted times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:26-28. Answer: Christ is the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world. And the Scripture said, Christ is searching the hearts of the wicked, and trying their reins, and bringing their thoughts to the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. He was in the saints, and the saints were in the light, so he is in all, over all, and through all, and blindness and darkness comprehend him not, who fills heaven and earth. If you go to the utmost parts of the earth, he is there. If you go to the deep, and to the nethermost hell, he is there. Where will you flee from his presence? Have not the holy men of God found this? Are all you ministers of the letter so ignorant of the letter? Are you all so short of the state that gave it forth? And I say, such as sit under the shadow of darkness shall feel, if they only hearken and listen, and such whose hearts are bad shall feel him searching and checking them. Such as go down to the nethermost hell, and to the utmost parts of the earth, shall feel him present, if they never stirred forth, and should not need to wander for a habitation, but should feel their habitation. Such then should come to know their soul's progress, which is an inward travail, before it comes into its bishop, Christ, the rest, him by whom the world was made, who was before it was made, glorified with the Father before the world began. Principle: and it is an error to say that the righteousness of Christ, justification, sanctification, and redemption are all within. Answer: if Christ is not within, they are reprobates, and reprobates can talk of Christ, and they who are out of the truth and the life can talk of Christ and bring the Scriptures. But they who have Christ within have sanctification, redemption, and justification. They have the wisdom and power of God. For reprobates are talkers without, but he who has Christ has all the other: redemption, sanctification, wisdom, righteousness, and the work is known within as he comes out of the fall of the first Adam principle. It is error to say, the light that discovers sin justifies. Answer: the light which is the covenant of God, that enlightens every man that comes into the world, discovers sin, makes it manifest, blots it out, justifies, sanctifies, redeems, and condemns those who hate it. Principle: it is an error that the light within men will bring men to the fear of God and lead men to justification, sanctification, and righteousness. Answer: none come to justification, to righteousness, who are out of the fear of God, nor to receive his righteousness. But they who come to the light within, which comes from Christ the righteousness, the wisdom, come to the justification and sanctification. And you are in the error that are not in this light that lets see and leads from it. Principle: perfection in holiness cannot be attained in this life, for Adam was under such a covenant, he had no mediator upon the breach of the command. The man denies over 100 scriptures that show God requires perfection, purity, and holiness, and show that the early church has perfection and holiness. The early Quakers claimed perfection from Christ's changing them, and claimed holiness. But the envious priests of Protestantism, who who had never heard God's voice or see his form, persecuted them. Their state in Christ proved them to be false prophets. And so they riled the government magistrates, who killed close to 1,000 Quakers, imprisoned tens of thousands of Quakers, and seized property of tens of thousands of Quakers. In addition, many Quakers were killed by angry mobs of Baptists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, and Congregationalists, who attacked the Quakers in their silent meeting, killing some and severely injuring many more. Wherever the Spirit of Christ appears, resurrected in his true believers, the religion of the day will be denounced, and organized Christendom will persecute Christ again. For Christ always stands against the world, and since religion makes peace with the world by spiritual adultery, it attacks anything that convicts it. Indeed, all who are determined to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, 2 Tim 3:12. The time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. John 16, 2 answer. God said to Adam, "The seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head." Christ, the promise, the mediator, made the way, which was the way in again to God, the way of man's redemption, and got down the serpent's head which got up in transgression, that Christ the head should bear rule. That the seed of the woman should have dominion, the second Adam, the seed Christ Jesus, the Lord from heaven. Perfection is not to be attained to by the life you live, until you come to the principle of God in you, but the life that David lived in saw an end of all perfection. And all who come to Christ the second Adam come to perfection, and all who attain to him attain to perfection in the life of God out of the first Adam. But who deny the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world, and rest in the first Adam, the life they live in denies perfection, and they never own it in the life they live in. But those who come into perfection come into Christ, a new life out of Adam in the fall in transgression. All physicians to sick men are to make them perfect. And you say, make none whole, make none perfect, makes never a man perfect. For being made whole, they are made perfect, for sin wounds. For the ministry of God was to bring people to the perfect man, to present them perfect. These were physicians of value and of worth, whereby the body, soul, spirit, and all were cured, and they glorified God in the body and spirit. Now you that say they shall not be perfect, and that none shall be without sin upon the earth, no perfection in the life we live in, are physicians of no value. You are not worthy to have the name of physicians, ministers, nor teachers, Thomas Weld, Richard Prydox, Samuel Hammond, William Cole, and William Durant. For you are pleading that while men are upon earth they must have a body of sin, and that he who said otherwise is a deceiver. And so you keep them in their wounds and sores, putrefying and imperfect, and are not makers up of the breach and binders up of the wound. And the Lord said, though their sins be as red as crimson, I will make them as white as wool, and will blot out sin and transgression. If you are willing and obedient, and this tender love and kindness of the Lord, and mercifulness to sinners and transgressors, has the Lord made manifest among them whom the world in scorn calls Quakers. And it is not a strange thing that you would not have people to forsake the fashions of the world, who are thus hung about with ribbons and cuffs and scarves, and your double boot hose tops, more like stage players than ministers. Principle, perfection is a fancy imagined notion. Those were not words of true physicians who brought men to a perfect man, to the growth up in perfection among the perfect ones who speak wisdom. They say, it is nowhere said that the law is fulfilled in any saints in this life. The accuser is denying the following scriptures, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Call 1:28 until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. F4:13 However we speak wisdom among those who are perfect. 1 Cor 2:6 Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yes, God forbid, we establish the law. Rom 3:31 Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Rom 13:8-10 Answer, they who love God keep his commandments. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes, and who are in him are in the end of the law. And all that dwell in love, dwell in God, and love is the fulfilling of the commandment. They who are of the seed of God keep the words of God, but the beast and false prophets since the days of the apostles, who have inwardly ravened, are turned against the royal seed of God, that keep the commandments of God. And none of you that raven from the Spirit of God can keep God's commandments, though you have all the saints' words. For the saints witnessed the end of the law, and witnessed perfection and a perfect man, and spoke wisdom among those who were perfect, and growing up to perfection. Principle, that Christ gives to every man a saving light, we utterly deny. Answer. He is the true light that enlightens every man that comes into the world, said John the minister of God, and he is salvation to the ends of the earth. And they who hate the light neglect their salvation and turn the grace of God into wantonness and deny the Lord who bought them. And everyone that has heard and learned of the Father comes to the Son. And none hear or come to the Father that come not to the Son, none but they who come to the thing that is transgressed in them, and the light that every man that comes into the world is enlightened with, nor do they hear or learn of the Father or come to the Son, but by that. And the light that lights everyone that comes into the world is the salvation to him that believes, and he who does not, it is his condemnation. Principle. But how dare these men lift up themselves in their blasphemous pride to say they are pure as God? Answer. Does not Christ say, "Be you perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect"? Is that blasphemy? And is it not said, "Be you holy, for I am holy"? Is that blasphemy? Whose ministers are you? Was not this the work of Christ and the apostles? Without holiness you shall never see God, and as he is, so are we in this present world. Principle, the word of God is contained in the scriptures. Answer, the scripture said God is the word, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Are you not more like men void of reason than ministers, whose ignorance of the scriptures thus appears? They, the scriptures, say God is the word, and the scripture is the words, and Christ is the word who fulfills them. Principle, the scriptures were given forth, some more darkly, some plainer. Answer. They who gave forth scripture, and they who are in that in which it ends, to them the scripture is not dark. But those who are from the principle of God in themselves are in darkness, which blinds their minds. The scriptures were not given forth darkly, but from the light, but you who are from the light are dark. Principle. The apostles ordained them as elders by an indirect call, and we are convinced clearly of an indirect call, not an explicit call directly from God, to the work of the ministry and of the word. The apostles ordained no one, unless the Holy Spirit specifically instructed them to do so. Yet these accusers were supposedly ordained by men in their sex college or ecclesiastic hierarchy, who had absolutely no instructions from the Holy Spirit to ordain anyone. The apostles had the same measure and maturity of spirit that the early Quakers are being criticized for also attaining. It is the pride of the man of the flesh, puffed up in his knowledge of the scriptures, to deny anyone else could possibly have a greater measure of Christ's spirit than themselves. And yet, it is because they started teaching before they were authorized and trained by the Holy Spirit that they can now not hear the word in their heart or see the light. And so, those born of the flesh persecuted those born of the Spirit, as it always has been. Galatians 4:29. Answer. What made the officers and overseers in the church among the saints, before the apostasy, was the Holy Ghost, which holy men spoke scripture from. That was what made them overseers, and that was not indirect but direct, which Spirit did oversee in the church of God. We do believe that you elders and members and those called ministers are all indirect without specific authorization, as well as your order and gospel are without revelation, as it has been, since the days of the apostles. Who are such as Christ said should come, inwardly ravening forth from the Spirit of God, and have got sheep's clothing? Since the days of the apostles people have walked after you, and you have deceived the world and nations. But we see that the false ministers, the worshippers of the beast, Antichrist, and the deceivers, among whom is the devil to deceive, are now taken with the false prophet, the beast, and the mother of harlots, and confounded and cast into the lake of fire, and the Lamb and the saints shall have the victory. And the gospel is direct, and he is cursed that preaches another. The word, I say, is direct, it lives, abides, and endures forever. And the ministers that are in the Spirit are direct, and these are furnished with the mysteries of the gospel, and their calling is direct. And the overseers of the church which the Holy Ghost makes are direct, and all that are in the life that gave forth scripture, and none know the scriptures but by it, are direct. What does convince of sin is direct. But now your call is indirect. Your ministry, your overseers, knowledge, word, gospel, people, and church are indirect. We do believe you. All this is so among you since the days of the apostasy from the apostles' doctrine, power, life, and spirit, with which you are judged, and who are in the life they are in what gave forth scriptures, which you are raven from, and are not likely to talk of having anything direct from God. Principle: the scripture is the word and the rule. There are 41,000 different opinions as to what the scriptures mean. How could they be the rule, other than to rule in chaos, the capital of hell? But the Holy Spirit speaks in a language that is clearly understood, in all languages and dialects, in words the listener for certain understands, with visions of the listener's life to aid in understanding. The Holy Spirit accesses the record of each man's life's experiences, where every thought, word, and deed is recorded, and uses them to illustrate his teachings. Reading scripture is no substitute for being taught and ruled by the Spirit of God, who is the light, word, and grace. Answer: the scriptures are the words of God, and Christ is the word in whom they end, and the word of God is the end which fulfills all scriptures, which came to the prophets, which the apostles preached, by which they discerned and spoke forth the words and saw the fulfilling of the words. And the scriptures of truth cannot be broken, but are fulfilled by Christ the word. And the Spirit is the rule that gave forth scriptures, and that led the saints into all truth. Principle: Thomas Castle went naked in the streets of Kendal, and Thomas Holmes of Kirkby Stephen. Answer: this has been a figure of your nakedness, who are Egypt spiritual and the Ethiopian black. And you have said, the prophet Isaiah did not put off all his clothes, which is contrary to the prophet's words in scripture. He was to go among all the transgressors in Ethiopia and Egypt, a figure of their spiritual nakedness. Likewise, since the days of the apostles and the apostasy, you have gone from the Spirit of God, and inwardly ravening from that, you have wanted the clothing with the Spirit, you have had only the outside, the sheep's clothing, but have been naked of the life. Therefore the Lord has moved his servants to give a true sign among you, and not a lying one, who have their clothing of the Spirit, which you lack. And you shall witness the truth of the Lord God and the sign, if ever you come into the true clothing of the Spirit of God. Principle: you say that Christ did not mean as he spoke, when he said, do not be called by men masters. Answer: which shows they are none of his ministers who trample upon his commandments and teach people that it is lawful to break them, pleading the lawfulness of their being called of men masters. So as for their being called of men masters, standing praying in the synagogues, their long robes, salutations, their tithes, and their pulpits, these are the works of the perfect Pharisees. All people may look upon their fruits, their works, and practices, and see the very image, and that they have their very garments and places, according to their condition, fruits, and works. As for all the rest of their hard speeches, lies, slanders, vilifying and railing words which they have poisoned people with, they will be their own burden and fall heavy upon them and turn upon their own heads. Their way is compassed, their bounds are set, and their limits, and in this the day of their account, everyone shall feel his words to be his burden. And their patience had been better than to have uttered forth their folly and published it to the nation. But the day has come that tries every man's work, and a witness is rising in people, the day star is risen, the morning is broke, the sun is rising, that people may not make lies their refuge, neither feed upon them, nor upon anything but what comes from God, the living bread that comes from God above, which who eats of lives forever. Many have their bread and their water, who hunger no more and thirst no more. The Worcestershire petition to the Parliament, which is said to be signed by 6,000. Principle: he has made a law commanding all people to whom we preach the gospel to allow us a sufficient maintenance, that we may not be hindered from or in his work. Answer: the scriptures and the apostles do not speak of any such thing as that Christ made a law for them, commanding all the world to whom they preach to allow them a sufficient maintenance, that they might not be hindered from or in their work. What? Will a lack of maintenance hinder them if they don't have it? Was it not the command of Christ to give freely as they from him had received freely? And then, if any set food before them, they might eat. But if a law commanding all the world to give a sufficient maintenance and allowance to the apostles and disciples had been first, they might have been sure of maintenance. And this had been the way to have clogged the people's minds and have brought them into trouble, whereas the gospel was always glad tidings. But if the apostles had not preached to the world, without this law which you speak of, commanding all the world to give them sufficient maintenance, What a condition would all people have been in? But they who had received freely were to give freely. So you have manifested your spirits to be the deceivers of the people for money, for saying that 6,000 people should say, he made a law commanding all the world to whom they preach the gospel to allow them sufficient maintenance. When Christ said, they the disciples were to preach as they went, and they were to preach if they did not receive them, and they were to go into all nations. Yet the apostles did not plead a law where they came, that they were all to maintain them. No, they were in fasting often, and would not use their power to eat among many people. Though they had power, yet they would not use it. And so the maintenance did not hinder the apostles from their work, for they preached often in fasts, and sometimes their own friends communicated to them when they were up and down among the heathen in other nations preaching. The apostles did not plead a law to the nations whom they preached to, and thus they brought glad tidings, keeping the gospel from charge. Are not you 6,000 men ashamed to petition for a maintenance for your ministers, that you should publish in a petition your nakedness to a supreme power of a nation, that you are not able to maintain your ministry, that the churches are not able to maintain their ministers? Does not this show your beggarliness, and that you are of the seed that is begging bread, and therefore not righteous? When the scripture said, the righteous are not forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. In this have you not shamed your ministers, that they have no better vineyards, plows, and flails? Did ever the apostles or their hearers, when they came into a nation, petition to the powers of the earth for money or support? Principle, and you say, where any man will not do justly, and pay the laborer the wages he owes him, the magistrate must see justice done, or else I know not what he has to do. The man pleads for preaching he is owed wages, and it is the government's responsibility to enforce his collecting wages. Nowhere does Scripture state that who preaches is owed wages. To the contrary, Scripture strongly condemns anyone who preaches for hire or money as being covetous, and for those who do, blackness of darkness is reserved forever. Answer. The apostles, ambassadors, and messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who were to go to all nations to preach the gospel, did not have a law at the magistrate's hands to give them wages, did not hail their hearers before them to give them wages, or put up petitions before every supreme of the nation before whom they came. This was not the work of the apostles, messengers, and disciples, who were to go into all nations to preach the gospel. When they had preached the gospel to the nation, they did not petition to the supreme powers of the nation, powers or principalities or kings, for maintenance from their hearers, as you do now. Oh, this stinks, and shows it is out of the power which the apostles, disciples, and messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ were in. For they would have made their gospel to have stunk, if they had come into all nations to preach the gospel, and then after they had preached it, if their hearers would not have given them maintenance, to have petitioned to the supreme authority of the nation, and have haled their hearers into courts, to assizes, sessions, and benches. Would this have been glad tidings to the nations, or trouble to the nations? They would have been but deceivers, and pretenders of glad tidings, and bringers of trouble to the nation, and seekers of themselves, and for themselves. And this would not have been to do the work which the Lord Jesus Christ sent them about. They would not have been preachers of the gospel that live of the gospel, such as might use their power and would not. And the power of God is the same now as ever it was, and it tries all the spirits that are gone out into the world, which have apostatized since the days of the apostles, out of the apostles' power. And now with the power the apostles were in, are they comprehended, which are gone out of the power which the apostles were in. Principle, and you speak of Jonah's temptation, and yet of your comfort in your studies. Answer. You are far from the power that Jonah's was in, as well as far from those who are to divide the word correctly, but you are swallowed up in the great temptations of the world, pride and covetousness, in which you are drowned, and you are in hard-heartedness, to which the jails in the nation witness. Those who cannot give you maintenance, and those who are moved of the Lord God to come and speak to you, are cast into jail by you, which shows that you are in another power than the apostle was in, who said, "Quench not the Spirit." And then the prophet was in, who said, "Vex not the Holy One," and denying prophecy. So now your power and authority to your ministry with the Spirit of the Lord God are fathomed, and you are seen to be out of the Spirit the apostles were in, and to be spirits that are gone out into the world, and into the earth and fall. And so you usurp the authority, and usurp the ministry in usurping the authority, as yourselves may see. Read the scripture of the prophets and apostles, and there read the fruits of your ministry and actions. Try them by plain scripture. Principle: you say that the ministry has no power to put you out of the vineyard, but to persuade others to do it. Answer: are the ministry in the vineyard of God, and do they have no power, with no authority there in the vineyard? Should the civil authorities then decide who goes into the vineyard and who is to come out? All those who are laborers in the vineyard must persuade who is in and out of the vineyard. In this, do you not show your ignorance of the apostles' doctrine, and of their work, who rebuked, stopped the mouths of opposers, had power to silence, had power to try spirits, had power to judge, had power to defend? Now have you not in this, if you are ministers, dishonored your power and authority, and have shown that you are out of the power, and are those that cry to the mountains, fall on us, and hide us from the glorious presence of the Lord, which is arising to shake terribly the earth? Principle: so if the minister's maintenance is taken away, there is little likelihood of a ministry long. Any true minister of God would not preach for money, and would be happy to work for a living and preach as he was moved by God. The early Quaker ministers did not extract money from the flock. Rather, they worked for their food, like Paul was a tent maker. And if someone offered them money and they didn't need it, they refused it. Below is the record of Will Catton's ministry. We were also at Cranbrook and Staplehurst, where we found a very open people, who were very ready to receive and to embrace the everlasting truth, which we freely and powerfully, according to our measures received, administered unto them, in the demonstration of the eternal Spirit. We had several large and precious meetings among them, and the power and presence of the Lord God were much with us, in which we rejoiced together, freely distributing the word of life unto them, which at that time dwelled richly and plenteously in our hearts. And as we had received it freely, so we did dispense the same freely. For though there were those that would have given us both gold and money, which some would even have forced upon us, yet we had not freedom to receive one penny of them, for we told them it was not theirs possessions, but them which we sought. Many were convinced and much affected with the truth, which with joy and gladness they received. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your hard-earned money for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear and obey, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies promised to David. Isaiah 55:1-3 answer. It seems the maintenance government enforced tithing by geographic district has been what has caused them to preach, and held them up, so take away their maintenance, and down falls their ministry. But I say the true power will stand, and the administration of the Spirit, and the hearing of Christ, and the teaching of God, even if men take away all their maintenance, and cast them into prison for speaking. But this holding up of ministers by maintenance is what came up before the apostles' decease, among those who taught for filthy lucre's sake, and through covetousness made merchandise of the people. Through the love of money they erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many hurtful lusts, and admired men's persons because of advantage, and taught for gifts and rewards. These had come up before the apostles' decease. Now these teachers who admired men's persons, taught for filthy lucre, the love of money, and covetousness, the apostle saw before his decease, after whom the world has since run. Take away their money and their lucre and their gifts, and see how long these will preach. Now have you showed your root, your offspring is discovered. Now the apostles preached, and were ministers who stood, who judged the root from where you are sprung, for your root had come up before the apostles' decease. But now you cry, if maintenance is taken away, there is no likelihood the ministry will stand long. We agree with you too, for we know that if your maintenance is taken away, down falls the preacher. Therefore, with petitions are you troubling the courts and magistrates for your livelihood. But if you were true ministers, you would be in the work in the vineyard of God, and would be ashamed of such things, and with the power of God cover your nakedness, and not be beggars and petition for outward things. You dishonor the power of the Lord God, and cause his name to be blasphemed among the heathen. And so, for shame, let your mouths be stopped forever, for saying you are ministers. The power would open the hearts of people if you were in it, and motivate them to give you, so that there would be no lacking. And then the gospel would be preached, and you live in that, and glad tidings be known to all nations, and men would not be cumbered about courts and put in prison by you, for whom you do no work. Principle, you say, shall men have freedom to preach, railing against Christ's ministers and church? This is a reproach to the world. And has Giles Calvert owned his name at them? And you speak of your liberty of the pulpit, but that the pulpit should not be Satan's oracle. As apothecary shops keep open poison, so Giles Calvert does poison for souls. Answer. This is not the way by railing to stop poison, but your pulpits have been like shops of poison, even to poison nations. For have you not poisoned many people and made their minds envious? And most of your stuff has been railing one against another. But had you been ministers, or spoken the truth in the love of it, it would have preserved people in peace and unity, and you would not have sought yourselves. And Giles Calvert's, which you call an apothecary shop, has been a place where many of your actions and fruits have been discovered and made manifest. Not against the Church of God, not against the ministers of God and Christ, not against the magistrates that live in the fear, life, and power of God, but against injustice and persecution, and the apostates got up since the days of the apostles. As you confess, if your maintenance is taken away, the ministry will fall. Now the power is what causes people to minister to any that minister to them, not by compulsion, but freely. And this is acceptable and pleasing to God, which the Lord loves. And so all your poison of your pulpits as Satan's oracles has been like such a thing. For the pulpiters' ministers who preach from pulpits, the best seat are those who have caused the great persecution and imprisoning for speaking to them, and because they will not give them maintenance. And so you quench the Spirit, and what quenches the Spirit is not of God. For in the true church, all may prophesy one by one. And if anything be revealed to him that sits by, the other must hold his peace, that all may learn and be comforted. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, and this was the order in the churches of God before the apostles' decease. But since their decease, among you who are apostatized from them, this is disorder, and sets you all in an uproar and confusion. So your church and pulpit are more like Satan's oracle than the church of God, and you have been in your pulpits more like women's scolding to those in a dunking chair, which you speak of, than men that preach the gospel. As the parishes may witness how they have been burdened with your railing against other people who have not been present with you. And when any of them have come to you, you have cried, "Take them away," they disturb you. Is not this worse than women's scolding? For women will stand and scold one with another, but you will scold behind their backs and cannot endure to speak to their faces, but cry to prison with them. But the rod is gone over you, and you have come to depend on the scourge, the whip, and the lash for your evil words, which have corrupted your manners. When you should have been preaching the peaceable way to the kingdom of God, you have been bringing people to strife, throwing them into prison for speaking a word to you, and such as cannot give you maintenance, whom you do no work for. But the sentence spoken in Matthew is coming upon you. You cast into prison till death because they cannot give you maintenance, therefore you are far short of visiting those who are in prison. And these covers will not cover you. All your hard speeches which you have vented forth in your book are not worth mentioning, but they will come upon yourselves, for every one of your words shall be your burden. Now fools may subscribe their hands to things they do not know, and go along with the crowd to do evil, but wise men consider and ponder the things beforehand. So all your petitions, the holy scriptures of the prophets, Christ, and the apostles, read and try them. Whether you have ever an example among any of the ministers of the gospel that ever put up a petition to any supreme of a nation, or that Christ ever gave them any such command, that his disciples should go and beg with a petition to the supreme powers of the nation for maintenance. In this have you not dishonored the gospel and Christianity, and showed that you are not of the royal priesthood, nor of the royal seed, nor everlasting covenant. Nor are you ministers like those that do freely give, who have freely received, but rather to be such whose spirits are in the earth, and that you petitioners are not able to maintain them. All the magistrates that stand in the fear of the Lord God will judge this, and so see that you have shamed yourselves, your ministry, and church, and that you are not a vineyard, that you do not have a flock to give you milk, which they must be free-willed to give you. And so the magistrates must give your ministers milk. You have shown the slothfulness of those who have plowed, and are not made partakers of their hope, but have lost it. In vain have they plowed and thrashed and not got out the corn. In all this have you not showed your idleness, that you have not labored to obtain a vineyard, and thrashed and gotten corn, and have not plowed and sowed the seed? Will the magistrates not see you in this? Have they not wronged you in maintaining your idleness? Will the magistrates not see that they have done so, and will be packhorses no longer, nor executioners for you, who have executed your malice upon those for whom you do no work, neither have they hired you, and cast them into prison because they have spoken to you to repent and to fear God? So it is time for the magistrates to do justice and execute the law upon you idle vagabonds. William Thomas, a minister of the gospel at Ubly, so called in his book called Railing Rebuked or a Defense of the Ministers. His principles follow. Principle, he said, his epistle reflects upon two sorts of persons, and that many false prophets have risen. Answer. The work of the ministers of the gospel was not to reflect upon persons or strike at creatures. As you say, two sorts of persons. But they struck at the power which captivated the creature, to the intent that the creature might come into the liberty of the sons of God. So you that are reflecting upon persons shows a mark of your being a false prophet. Instead of speaking of the power, you are reflecting upon persons. And this reflecting upon persons was never the way to beget to God. But what strikes at the power which captivates creatures reaches to the witness in prison and brings people into unity with God and one another in the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. Principle, to love the word for the good parts, that in regard of the Christian is a dangerous thing, and in regard of the word of God, a dishonorable thing. Answer. Where the good parts are not in the Christian, that is a dishonorable thing to the word, and causes the word of God to be evil spoken of, as the whole assembly of you ministers have done by your bad conversations, earthly, covetous, impatient spirits, that cannot endure any should speak but yourselves in your places. So by you has the word of God been dishonored, and not honored. For the apostles wrote that they were to show themselves patterns and examples to the flock of God in life and conversation, that the word of God might not be evil spoken of. Now where the word is evil spoken of, and the bad parts in a Christian proceed, this grieves the righteous, and causes the truth to be evil spoken of, and the word makes them vessels of honor in whom it is. Principle. Now when Christians leave the word, and sacraments and Sabbaths, it is a dangerous pride, lifting up the light within as they do. Answer. The Christians that denied the Sabbaths and witnessed Christ the substance, the rest, said, the light that shined in their hearts would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They lifted up Christ the light, and they walked in him, the covenant of God and of light, to the Jews and Gentiles, which who walk in are in peace with God and unity one with another and have the light of life and rest, and all are in the dangerous state that are out of that. As for the word sacrament, there is no scripture for it, but it is one of the papists' common invented words, and the light brings off from it, as well as the Jewish Sabbath. Principle, buy the truth and sell it not, and do not pleading for sufficiency of a common light, and leaving their callings as the monks, and their books flying abroad, their wings unclipped, and no mention of eternal salvation from the wrath to come. And he said, he loves the word, sacraments, Sabbaths, and ministry. Answer, Christ came to put an end to the Jewish Sabbaths, and the apostles preached their end and forsook all for Christ. And so, to revile such as are in the same power, and to call it by the unsavory expression, monkish, you and you are more like that, that tell of sacraments that are from the monkish holiness. As for speaking of clipping the wings of our books that fly abroad, that is another unsavory expression, and shows your spirit, that it is not able to resist the spirit that gives forth the books. As for the word and ministry, you have shown yourself against them, though you profess the scripture to be the word. But those are the words of God, which Christ the word fulfilled, and this the ministers of Christ witness. You never read that the ministers of the gospel said they loved the Jewish Sabbaths and held up the Sabbaths. These were the ministers of the law that held up the Sabbaths, which Christ, the rest, came to put an end to, by whom the world was made, who was before it was made, glorified with the Father before the world began. And you sell the truth and take the world, who deny the light that lights every man that comes into the world, which is sufficient to him that believes in it. Principle. We exercise and order our preaching for the getting of money and maintenance, and the greetings in the markets are but what humanity requires, nor to be called of men rabbi, else Christ would not have taken it. Must a minister lose the members of his church and the maintenance of his place both at once? The man admits he preaches to get money, yet a true preacher preaches out of love for his fellow man and love for God, whose preaching is ordered by God and directed by God. This man fulfills the words of Christ regarding hirelings. The hireling working for a salary does not own the sheep like the shepherd, so when he sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling working for pay and does not love the sheep. John 10:12-13 answer. Christ said to his disciples, they should know the false prophets by their fruits, and said, be not you called of men master, for one is your master, even Christ, and denied the Pharisees greetings in the markets, which you calls human right. The apostles did not order their preachings to get money by them, but they labored to keep the gospel without charge, and the ministers of Christ brought the people off the Jews' assemblies and their maintenance both. You that are found out of the apostles' doctrine, in the apostasy, such as leave you, whom you do no work for, how can you expect that they should give you maintenance? Or how can you in righteousness take maintenance from those for whom you do no work? So if you lose the members, will you take the maintenance? Which of the apostles did the same? No, is to deny maintenance, not the way to gain members. Is not that the way whereby the power of God may be known that raises the seed of God, whereby the hearts of people may be opened, and whereby the seed is known? And the apostle declared against such as taught for filthy lucre and made merchandise of the word, and what you call humanity is your earthly right, seeing your conversation is in earth and not in heaven. Fox ignores the most ridiculous claim of this accuser, who said, to be greeted in the marketplace and be called rabbi is what humanity requires, otherwise Christ would not have had that title. Jesus said, do not be called rabbi teacher, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. Matt 23:7-8. The reason Jesus allowed himself to be called rabbi is because he is that only one teacher who deserves the title. The logic this accuser uses could just as well be used for justifying himself being called Savior or Holy One of Israel. Continue to next rebuttals. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and His kingdom.